Got your Bible, I hope? Got it out and ready? All right. Let's go to Luke in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, and then Luke. And if you'll go to chapter 18 of Luke. Luke chapter 18. We're going to read an account that probably a lot of you are familiar with. But no matter how many times you've read this, there's always something you can dig out of it, right? It's the way the Bible is. The Bible's the only book like that. You can just keep digging and digging. It's just like digging for gold. It's an endless supply of gold. You just keep getting more and more and more. It takes some work to dig it out sometimes, but it's worthwhile work, isn't it? So let's go to Luke 18, 35. Go down towards the end of the chapter. Start in verse 35, and let's read all the way to the end, verse 43. So Luke 18, verse 35, and it came to pass that as he, and that's Jesus, as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And can you say the next word? How long does it take the Lord to do his work whenever he says something? It happens immediately. That's what it says. 43, and immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. That's quite an account there about a blind man receiving his sight. So let's pray, then we'll get into this morning's message. Lord God Almighty, we ask you in the name of Jesus Christ to help us with the understanding of your words. I know all of our desire here this morning is for spiritual work to be done. I know your desire is for spiritual work to be done on each one of our hearts. And I pray you take this passage and make it personal for all of us, no matter where we are in our walk with you. And there may be some among us that have not been saved and don't have a walk with you. And I pray that today that you'd move on their hearts as well. And we just pray that you would be glorified today, as here in this passage we read that you did great work and were glorified. We ask that same thing happen here among us. Pray you'd open up some blind eyes today, and may we see things very clearly from your word, as we should. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, so I'm looking out here. We got a few people wear glasses, and I got mine right here. And I'm nearsighted. Anybody nearsighted? Okay, nearsighted means I can read on the page, no problem. But if Christopher back there held up, well, I could probably see it from there. But if Christopher was back there at that back door and he held up fingers and I had to say how many, I'd probably have a little bit of a rough time because I can't see far away. So now I can see far away. Very clear. And it's amazing. I'm telling you, it's amazing the difference when you have the right vision, when you have good vision. And I wore contacts for a long time, then they bother my eyes. So I hate wearing glasses. So I'll wear them when I have to, whenever I really need them. But it sure is a good thing to be able to see. What if you couldn't see? Here's some things you'd miss out on if you couldn't see at all, if you're blind. Isn't a sunrise and a sunset a beautiful thing to observe? You'd miss out on that if you couldn't see. What a beautiful thing. God's creation, you'd miss out on if you couldn't see that. How about, I taught biology for a long time, and I kind of got into this whole world of flowers. Lilies and roses and sunflowers. They're all so unique, and they all have their own beauty, don't they? My wife and I like animals. We were in Colorado Springs, and we went to the best zoo we've ever been to. Probably not ever going to top that, the Cheyenne Mountain Zoo. And we saw all these animals. And I can't imagine going to that zoo, not being able to see. It would have been a waste. And we were in awe of all the different types of animals they had there. Just an awesome thing. You miss out on a lot if you can't see. You miss out on all kinds of things. How about this? And we've noticed this with school here in the last year. This time last year, our school, and I think all schools in the country, had school at home. And it was video. And Some days I would put lessons up and I would actually not be in front of the kids teaching. It would just be a PowerPoint and I would be talking. And then other times they would get to see me on video. But you know what? Nothing replaces in person being able to see somebody in person. It's just, you just can't top it. So thank God we can see. Everybody in here can see. I know we got people that got glasses. You need a little assistance. But hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that we can see things, right? Now, it would be a terrible thing to go through life without sight. Now, you all know who Helen Keller is. Very well-known woman who was both deaf and blind. And here's what she said. The only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision. Now, you catch that? Sight but no vision. Be able to see but then have no idea where you're going in the future, what direction you're going in life. I'm going to tell you something worse than that. That's a true statement, but I'll tell you something worse. Something worse than that would be to have physical sight. Everybody here's got it, some better than others, but to have no spiritual sight. That's a terrible thing. The Bible, not me, the Bible is going to show you this morning how you can have perfect spiritual eyesight. So we just read an account about a blind man, a physical thing, right? He physically blind, he gets physical sight. When you read this, we ought to try to make an application of spiritual sight. Now, even if you know Jesus Christ is your Savior and you got your eyes opened to spiritual things, you know, sometimes we got to kind of take a look at where we are spiritually and make some adjustments so we see things a little clearer, right? So I hope we can all do that this morning. Now, the man in our account this morning had no eyesight, and it serves as a picture of people today who have physical eyesight, but like I said, no spiritual eyesight. So let's get a verse on that. You're in Luke, go to your right, go to 2 Corinthians. What's that mean, no spiritual eyesight? Let's let the Bible do the explaining here. You can have physical eyesight, see very clearly, but be blind spiritually. What in the world does that mean? Take a look at 2 Corinthians 4. Go down there to verse 3. 2 Corinthians 4:3. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting verse 3. We'll read a couple verses here. Verse 3 says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are, what's that word? Okay, the lost. Those would be people that are without the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Look at verse 4. In whom, that's the lost, the God, notice the little g, the God of this world hath, what's the word, folks? Blinded the minds. It doesn't say the eyes. It says blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Folks, you know what the devil's work is? It's been this work all in since existence began, since he's been around and rebelled against God. It's true today. His role is blind the world as to who Jesus Christ is, keep people from understanding their need as sinners of a Savior, and that Jesus Christ is that Savior. His role is to blind people to that truth. So I hope you're not blinded to that truth today. I hope you can see things clearly from a spiritual end. Go down there to verse 6 and you'll see something here. For God, same passage, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So if you're here this morning and you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, there was a time where you were actually in darkness, you were blind. The day where you understood your sinful state, and that was why you were in darkness and blind, you understood your sinful state, you understood that Jesus Christ paid the price for your sins, was buried and rose again, and the day you called on Him to save you, you know what you did? You went from darkness to light, and you could see things clearly like you couldn't see before. Now, let me give you an example of this. I know I've said this so many times in the last year, but it's so good. The last year, so many people of our world have been scared to death about all the things that have been going on in our world, right? I mean, you look around, so many people are living in fear. And ever since this thing happened, I tell you, we were sitting on a couch at my wife's sister's house when all this thing happened. It was middle of March of last year. And we're listening to the news report, watching all this, and I'm thinking, man, something ain't right here. something's not right. And I thought, this can't be. And you know what? In the last year, the devil has used this whole thing that you've been seeing, this coronavirus thing, to incite fear into the hearts of people. So they will live their lives scared to death. They won't go out of the house. And they'll just live in fear. And you know what? I see so many people in our world blinded to what's really going on. You know what's really going on? Your Bible tells you what's been really going on in the last year. You know what's been at work in the last year, probably more than ever, at least in my lifetime? Something called the spirit of Antichrist. Just getting the world all ready for something a whole lot bigger than what you're seeing right now to happen. So in the last year, so many people have been scared to death. Hey, I see things clearly. You see things clearly? I see in the last year, hey, the Bible's true. All this just is confirmation to me that, yeah, the devil's working here. And you know what? The devil's trying to do some things, but all he's doing is fulfilling very clear Bible prophecy. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? He thinks, oh, I'm doing this great work. He's fulfilling what the Scriptures clearly say. So if you would, go back to John chapter 8. Let me show you something here in John, and we'll go back to Luke. And just by way of introduction this morning, John chapter 8, and the words of the Lord Jesus Christ here. Great words. John 8:12. John chapter 8, look at verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, I'm just going to ask you a question. You don't need to answer out loud. Do you have the light of life this morning? You've been walking in darkness, or you've been walking in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ? He is the light of the world. You either have the light or you don't. If you have the light, you're not in darkness. If you don't have the light, the Lord Jesus Christ, you're walking in darkness. Only you know the answer to that question. Do you have the light today? You know, and the Lord knows. Now go back here to Luke, and let's get into some of the things here in our passage. Luke, I've got a couple things here just to introduce what's going on here. Go back there to verse 35. You know, the details of the Bible are important, aren't they? Aren't they? Let me just show you something here real quick. Luke 18, back there where we started. Look at verse 35, and you can just help me out. A little interaction this morning. What is the name of the place mentioned in verse 35? Help me out there. Now, we won't go back there for time's sake. But Joshua chapter 6, verse 26, that's the chapter where the Israelites marched around the city once a day for 6 days, seven times the seventh day. The 13th time they went around that thing on the last day, the walls fell down. And the Lord pronounced, you ready for this? The Lord pronounced a curse on that city. Joshua 6, 26, you can take a look at that. God pronounced a curse on that city. Did this blind man get healed in that very same place where there was a curse on that city? He sure did. I think God did that on purpose. Because, you know, in Galatians chapter 3, it says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Hey, God works in places that are cursed. God works on people that are cursed. If you're without the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, you got a curse on you. It's the curse of sin. You know, you don't have to have that curse. If you'll call on Him today and trust Him as your Savior, take a look at verse 36 here. Notice what it says in that next verse there. It says, back up to 35. One more thing in 35. It says this blind man in verse 35 sat by the wayside. What's he doing there? He's begging. I think that's interesting. You know, the Lord cares for the beggar. Begging's not a bad place to be. If you're begging for something, you need something. And if you're begging like this guy, you need something really bad. You need it desperately. I'll give you a reference here to take a look at. 1 Samuel 2:8. Bible says, He, speaking of the Lord, raiseth up the poor out of the dust. And it says this, lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill. The beggar coming out of the dunghill. Pretty clear words from the Scripture there, if you know what a dunghill is. You know, the Lord wants to lift you up out of that place. And this beggar right here recognizes he's got a great need, and he starts asking the Lord for something that only the Lord Jesus Christ can bring to him, which is sight. You know, the world today, people are begging for fulfillment, peace, and purpose. You know where you find that? You can only find that in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can provide you with fulfillment, peace, and purpose. Now, if you take a look at verse 36, let's take a look here, getting this first point here. 36, it says, this blind man's begging. And in 36, it says, and what's that next word? Hearing the multitude pass by. He asked what it meant. This first point this morning, here's number one point of the message. We're going to talk about hearing for a moment. This man hears some commotion. And then notice in 37, he's told what the commotion's all about. And the commotion is, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And it was something that the blind man heard that caused him to ask what was going on. And then he finds out that the most important person he could ever know in his life is passing by. So let's talk about hearing for just a moment here. Are you hearing me okay this morning? Is the mic working okay? All right, good, good. Now let's talk about hearing for just a moment. There were three ladies discussing a conversation they overheard. I know you would never peer in on somebody's conversation, but there was these three ladies that were kind of listening in on a conversation between a man and his wife. And they overheard the conversation. They heard the lady say something to her wife. So they're discussing. These three ladies are discussing what they heard. So the first lady says, they must have been at the zoo. Because I heard her mention a trained deer. She said, they got to have been at the zoo. There was a trained deer that they were talking about. Lady number two says, you got it all wrong. They were talking about going away on vacation because that lady said, find out about the train, dear. Lady number three says, you both are wrong. Come on. I heard them clearly. They were talking about musicians because she referred to a trained ear as distinctly as could be. I heard it. A trained ear. So we got trained deer, train deer, a trained ear. They sound very close, don't they? Well, in the midst of their discussion, the actual lady that was saying this to her husband shows up. And they said, here she is. Let's ask her what she actually said. You can settle the score. So they go through, lady number one, lady number two, lady number three. She says, oh my. I had been out in the country overnight, and I asked my husband if it rained here last night. So all three of those ladies had it wrong. And you know what? Sometimes we got to listen carefully and attentively or we'll get it wrong. Now, you don't have to turn there. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You want to make sure when you come to church, you are hearing God's Word clearly. You know the best way to make sure that you hear the Word of God clearly is not just listening to me or whoever's up here. The best way is to both listen to what's being said from this pulpit, but make sure what's being said is right here in the Scriptures. That's hearing, because it's not what I say, it's what God says that's most important, right? You know, every time you go to church, you're having a hearing test. You ever think about that? Every time you come, God's testing how well you're going to hear. Because hearing from God through His Word is the way that you understand some things going on, both in the Scriptures and in our world. And you can understand some things very clearly if you're an attentive hearer. So let's talk about hearing right now. Go back to Genesis chapter 3. You know, this chapter is a chapter you need to get down real clear because it's where sin enters the world. The reason we're turning to Genesis chapter 3 is I thought we would take a look at the first time somebody hearing in your Bible is ever mentioned. This is the first time you'll see any form of the word hear. Look at Genesis 3, and this is after sin enters the world. Go down there to verse 8 and take a look at what's going on here. Genesis 3, 8. And this is Adam and Eve, they heard, this is so interesting the way this is spelled out here. They heard the voice of the Lord God. What's that next word? They heard a voice walking. There's all kinds of things we could say about that, but you can take a look at that on your own later on. We can talk about it if you want to. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now look at the response. They hear the Lord. And Adam and his wife, what'd they do? Hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. You know that hearing God's words causes some people to hide because they refuse to come clean with their sin. Isn't that why they were hiding? They did not want to come clean with what had just happened. Now they're confronted by the Lord, and obviously you know what happens after this, and confession is made about what really happened. But isn't that interesting? Sin causes people to feel guilty, and in this case, hide. So I find this very interesting. If you would, turn over to Matthew chapter 2. And while you're going over there, I'll tell you a quick story. At my job during the week, I have interactions with teenagers every single day. And I find something very interesting. The teacher in the class will come to me and tell me something that happened in the class. And then I will get the students in my office and I will ask them about what happened. And it's always so interesting. The teacher will say, yes, Bobby was disruptive in class. He just could not keep his mouth closed after being told many times to stop being disruptive. So Bobby comes in the office and I say, yo, what's going on? The teacher tells me this. You know what happens? I'm telling you, this happens far more than I would like it to, but it happens so often. Bobby says, and this is any kid, not any kid, but many kids, they'll say, but it was Johnny. You know what that is? Kids, and the adults the same way, they don't like admitting they are wrong. Folks, I don't enjoy admitting I'm wrong, but I'm wrong. You may not enjoy admitting you're wrong, but you've been wrong. Now, let's not just say wrong. You know what I really am? You know what I was born into this world as? You know what you're born into this world as? You're born into this world as a sinner. That's negative. Nobody likes talking about that, but it's true. If you don't acknowledge the fact that you are a sinner, you can never come to know Jesus Christ because you'll never understand why He died. Why did He die, folks? Christ died for our sins. Folks, it may not be popular. It may not be comfortable. But we got to acknowledge we are the problem. I am a sinner. That's the first step for salvation, right? So look at Matthew chapter 2. Now, some people hear the Lord and they hide. How about this fellow? This is Herod. This is the first mention of hearing in the New Testament. And let's take a look at verse 3. Actually, look at verse 2. These wise men come and they say, verse 2, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And then verse 3. When Herod the king had heard these things, what happens to Herod? He was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And if you keep reading, you'll find out why Herod was troubled. You know why Herod was troubled? He was afraid. You know what he's afraid of? If the king of the Jews is here, I'm out of a job. I'm in trouble. Isn't that something? Some people hide. Some people fret. Hey, how about we respond like this? Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Here's the right response to hearing God's words. Here's the proper response. Don't fret. Don't hide. Just come clean with what's going on here. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, the right response to hearing God's words. Go down there to verse 12, and you'll see hearing in verse 13, but let's read verse 12 first. Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse 12 here. It says that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Now watch 13, you'll get a progression here. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye, what's the word? Heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So if you go in the order here, the first step is hearing. Hearing the word of God. And in this case it says the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. The second step, folks, every time you hear from God, you know what you're forced with? You're forced with a decision. The decision is, am I going to believe that God's word is true? And in this case, you hear from God, you believe the truth about yourself and your own sinful condition and what Jesus Christ did for you. If you believe that, what's the next step, folks? You see it in the verse? What's the next step? Can you tell me? Starts with an S. Anybody see it? It's the sealing of the Holy Spirit of God, which is a transaction that happens when somebody is saved and they call on Jesus Christ to be their Savior, believing that He died for their sins, was buried, and rose again. You know what the Lord does? He seals you. Isn't that a great thing? Have you been sealed? It's all dependent on if you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ or not. And in order to believe, you had to first what? You had to first hear the truth about your sin and about what Jesus Christ did for you. How about another one? Go to 1 Thessalonians. You're in Ephesians. Go to your right. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and then 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, I know these are verses we look at quite often here, but look at them again. Always good to look at things over and over again. You'll see something you didn't see before. Look at verse 13, 1 Thessalonians 2. Look at verse 13 on this subject of hearing. Look at what it says here. Verse 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. There's a progression there. You're faced with hearing from God, hearing the words of God. When you hear the words of God, you're faced with a decision. Are these the words of men or the words of God? Hopefully you'll say, these are God's words. They're the most important words I could ever hear. The next step, am I going to believe this or am I going to choose not to believe it? And if you believe that God's word is true, you know what God's word will do on you? It's right at the end of the verse. It will begin to work on you. And it works from the inside out. Now, you know, it's interesting. We oftentimes in church, and the Bible does the same thing, talk about the heart, H-E-A-R-T. And I'm not talking about this thing right here in the center of my chest. It's really who you are. The real you, your heart. We say things like, check your heart. Get your heart right with the Lord. The Bible talks a whole lot about the heart. It says in Romans 10, for with the heart man believeth unto salvation. All right, so the heart, think about that word. H-E-A-R-T. First four letters. H-E-A-R spells what? You know how the Lord gets into your heart? By you hearing from His Word. I don't think that's a coincidence. In English, you get that. The way to your heart is by hearing from God's Word. That's how He gets in there. And He works from the inside out once that Word gets into your heart. All right? Go back to Luke 18. Let's get this second point this morning. And as I said before, every time you come to church, you're tested on your willingness to hear from God. And I'll ask you this question now and probably again at the end. Are your spiritual ears open this morning? Now, this blind man could hear, but he couldn't see. So there's the first step. Are you willing to hear? Are your spiritual ears open this morning? Are you being attentive spiritually? Because if you'll be willing to hear, there's something that comes after that. Take a look down there at verse 37. Let's read again a couple verses here. 37, they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by. So at this point, this blind man has simply heard. Now, look at the response. Based on, I know there's somebody here that can help me, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the response, verse 38. And he, what's that next word? Cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He cried, didn't he? I think he did it with some emotion. 39, look at 39, very interesting verse. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. Can you imagine? Get the scene in your mind here. They're like, hey, quiet, man, come on. It's Jesus. Like, stop it. Stop. Have some respect, man. You're too loud. I'm so glad that blind man did not listen to them, aren't you? Look what happens at the second part here. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Hey, don't let people stop you from getting to the Lord Jesus Christ, because people will try. They're trying to say, hey, stop it. No. I love this guy's persistence. He says, oh, no. I've heard about Jesus Christ. I know he can help me. I mean, think about it. What's he say? Have mercy on me. Why would he say something like that if the Lord couldn't do something great for him? So notice what he's desiring here. We'll get the second point here. The second point, I could have said crying, where I put it in my notes as calling, but maybe we should put crying instead of calling. But either one works right here, because he's calling out to the Lord and he cries out as he does so. So second point here. Notice there he says, have mercy on me. And he says it a couple times. Notice he did not say, open my eyes. He doesn't say that the first time. Later on, he mentions his sight. But he says, have mercy on me. So think about the definition of mercy in relation to this blind man. He desired mercy, and here's what mercy is. Compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone who it is within one's power to punish or harm. Do you know who had the ability to punish or harm? And he has the ability today to bring punishment or harm. It's the Lord God Almighty. It's the Lord Jesus Christ here in the passage. And this guy calls out for mercy. So he wants the Lord to have mercy on him, the one who can either show compassion or can show punishment toward him. He's got the power to do either, doesn't he? And this guy desires, man, I want this guy to show some compassion towards me. So if you would, go to Proverbs, keep your finger here, go to Proverbs 16. I want to show you a verse here. Something about mercy here. Mercy. This guy knows he's in a condition that he can't fix. This guy knows he's got a condition that the Lord can fix. You've been there before? I mean, even if you've been saved a while, you find yourself in these positions where I can't fix it. You know, that's a good thing because the Lord wants you in those positions. So you'll say, Lord, I can't fix it, but I know you can. So go to Proverbs chapter 16 here. Proverbs 16. And take a look at this thing about mercy here and you'll see something else. Look at Proverbs chapter 16. Look at verse 6. Bible says, by, what's that next word? Mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. Isn't that something? This guy knows that he needs mercy from the Lord. He also acknowledges that he's got a problem. His problem is he's blind. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. Folks, how about we all just be honest with the Lord about ourselves? I mean, you've been here, you've been saved a while. This is a daily checkup. How you doing spiritually? What's your spiritual walk with the Lord like? How did it go this past week? Did you just kind of do your own thing and not pray and not hear from the Lord, hear in His Word? Or did you actually take some time to hear from God outside of church? I mean, church is great, but hey, you're on your own the rest of the week. Did you take some time to hear from God this week? If you did the Lord show you some things about you that maybe you needed to get right with Him? By the way, it don't matter how long you've been saved. There's people been saved a lot longer time than I have. The Christian life, you are constantly looking into the mirror of the Word of God so God can show you where you're wrong. But His intent is not for you to just remain wrong. His intent is for you to get some things right with Him. And if you can get some things right with Him, He can better use you. This is called sanctification. You know what? It's not stopped, folks. Since I've been saved, it's not stopped, and it's not going to stop until I get a new body like Jesus Christ. As long as I'm in this body, I'm going to continually, the Lord's going to show me, hey, you're wrong here, you're wrong here, you're wrong. Get it right, get it right. Never stops, all right? So mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. Go back there to where we were there in Luke. And let's move on here. This man recognized his need for mercy, and he was willing to acknowledge the truth about himself. So I ask you a question here. Are you willing to acknowledge the truth about yourself like he did when it comes to dealing with your sin? Now, there's only one person that can take away sin, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Great verse, 1 John 1:7. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If you have not dealt with the Lord Jesus Christ and the payment He made for your sin, according to God's Word, you are in your sin. But the Lord doesn't want you to remain that way. He wants you to realize there's a way out, and it's by calling on Jesus Christ, just like this blind man did. Now, if you notice there, he cries out a couple times, have mercy on me, have mercy on me. Romans 10:13, great verse you ought to know if you don't know it. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Did you notice the blind man here? It says he cried. He's calling out to the Lord. You know what happened later in the passage? The Lord saved this man. He opened his eyes. He's no longer blind. I ask you a question, you and the Lord here. Was there a time where you, doesn't matter what somebody else did, you realize your own sinful condition before Almighty God? You realize Jesus Christ paid the price for your sins, and therefore you called on Him to be your Savior. Is there a time when you did that? Can you pinpoint a time where you did that? if you can pinpoint a time, if you really called on Jesus Christ to be your Savior, what did He do? Help me out, folks. According to God's Word, He saved you. Doesn't matter how you felt. According to God's Word, He saved you if you did that in faith. And if you didn't do that, if you've never done that, today's April the 11th, 2021, I can't think of a better day for you to do that. Don't wait till April the 12th. You might not be here. I plan on being around tomorrow. I'm not guaranteed it a bit. I have no guarantee of tomorrow. I have no guarantee this afternoon. Neither do you. How about get this thing right before you leave this room today, before you leave this church today? Call on Jesus Christ, realizing what He did, the price He paid for you, for your sin. Don't leave this church in your sin. Leave this church with your sins paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing better than that. Now, go to Hebrews chapter 4, real quick. The problems, I said this before, but I need to hear this again if you don't. The problems that God allows in your life are there to prompt you to go to the Lord for help. I think that's worth saying again. I need to hear it if you don't. The problems that God allows in my life are there to prompt me to go to the Lord for help. I could tell you some things about just the last week or two where I tried to fix problems. Anybody ever try to fix their own problems? How'd you do on that? Maybe you did okay. I could tell you a couple times here recently, it was a miserable failure. I tried to fix it. I can't fix it. There's certain things in my life I can't fix. Now, there's certain things I can fix. There's certain things I cannot fix. You know why that is the case? Because the Lord wants me to know you can't fix everything. But guess who can fix anything and everything? It's the Lord. He can. So go to Hebrews 4. Look at this great encouraging verse here. Look at verse 15 and 16. Hebrews 4. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are. Say the last three words with me. Yet without sin. Now that's got to only be one person. Who's that? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Only one person who ever lived, yet without sin. That's Him. That's not me. That's only the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as a result of that, look at verse 16. His sinless life, His payment for sins, His resurrection. Look at verse 16. Let us therefore come, what's the next word? Boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain. Hey, that's what that blind man was looking for. That's what we all need. We may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hey, any need you have, the Lord can help you with that. Now, He might not make things go the way you want to like that. In fact, He might not do anything close to what you desire to happen. And the reason why is because He's got a better plan than me and you. I think I got the better. Lord, if you'll straighten this person out and that person out and this whole situation out, everything will be fine. I got that in my mind. And the Lord often would say, number one, how about you look in the mirror and you get things straightened out with you first. I'll take care of the rest. And I'm telling you, only the Lord can do things in a way where it's really done the way it should be. And justice and righteousness prevail. Isn't that something? Only He can. And He does it when He wants, but when He does it, it's done right. I know we got folks right here amongst, I can tell, about answered prayer where if it had happened when you wanted and how you wanted, it might not have been so great. But the Lord waited and it happened the way He wanted. And God got glory out of that thing. And it was done right. So just wait on the Lord. He'll take care of things. You just got to wait on Him. Go back to Luke 18 here. And let's say something about this blind man calling again. Calling on the Lord to help him. And if you look down there at verse 41, it says here, look at 40. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto Him. I really like that. Verse 40. I'll read that again. Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto Him. I like that right there. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ deals with individuals. Isn't that a great thing? He deals with individuals. Now, He heard. Now, the Lord heard this fellow call out twice. Son of David, have mercy on me. And the Lord says, hey, bring that guy over here to me. I think that first part of verse 40, what a beautiful thing that is. He calls out for help, and here comes the Lord. I'll give you a reference here. I'll read the verse to you. We might want to write it down. Psalm 34:18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. That's that blind man right there. He knows he's got a great need, and he knows only the Lord can fulfill his need. Now look what else it says. Look at verse 41 here. The Lord says, saying, that's the Lord talking, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? We'll stop right there for just a minute. Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ cares about your individual needs? Isn't that a great thing? This guy is face to face with the only one that can help him. And he asks the question, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? Hey, folks, when nobody else cares, when everybody's forsaken you, the Lord cares. Isn't that a great thing? Sometimes you feel all alone in this world, especially here lately. This world's it's a great thing to come here where you know people are like-minded when it comes to believing the Scriptures. But what a stinking rotten world we live in when you walk out of here. People are against you. Seems like the whole world's against you. It seems like more people are lining up on the other side right now. Hey, the Lord knows, and the Lord cares. Nobody else cares. The Lord knows, and the Lord cares. Isn't that a great thing? Last thing here. We'll get to this last point, which is found here in verse 41. After that question is asked by the Lord, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? Look what the response is. And he said, Lord, acknowledging that he's not just any man, he's God in the flesh. Lord, capital L, that I may receive my sight. Last point here. We had hearing. We had calling. Last point's receiving. Because look what happens in the next verse. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Last part here is important. Thy faith hath saved thee. This man received his sight because he called on the only one who could give him his sight, the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice here, very important, verse 42. Notice what it is that the Lord himself said, save the man. What is it, folks? What is it that saved this man? It is this man's faith, but it's not just faith in anything. It's faith in Jesus Christ being able to restore his sight. Now, have you exercised faith in Jesus Christ being able to save you from hell? Because he's the only one that can. Nobody else, no church, no religion, no other man can save you from the wrath of God. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can do that. If you're saved this morning, you know what saved you? Your faith in what Jesus Christ did for you. Now, where's your faith this morning? If your faith is in anybody or anything outside of the Lord Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection, folks, you got quite an eternity coming. You got an eternity without Jesus Christ that will be awful and terrible. It'll be in eternal flames and torment. And nobody likes talking about that these days, but we need to talk about that sometime, don't we? Because it's real. Brother James was telling me about a conversation he had with a man. And the man was saying, is that talking about street preaching, how we go out there on the street. And the man said, are you telling people about hell? James said, you better believe we are. He said, really? You're going to tell, almost like, and this is how most people think, almost like, well, that's going to turn people off. Folks, if outside those doors right there, there was a 1,000-foot drop, wouldn't I be the meanest man on earth to not tell you there's a 1,000-foot drop out that door? And I let you go? Wouldn't that be, you'd say, that Rockwell, he don't love anybody. He hates everybody. He didn't tell anybody. I'm telling you because it's real. We're in Luke 18. Hey, I wasn't planning on going here, but I think we need to go there this morning. Luke 16, real quick. Luke 16. This is something nobody likes to talk about, but we ought to talk about it. Luke 16. This is where you have the rich man in hell. And I'm just going to read a verse here where it tells you about how bad this place is. If you look there at verse 23, Luke 16, 23. This is talking about the rich man. Look what it says. And in hell, he lift up his what? Hold on a second. What is it? What part of this man is in hell? He's got eyes. It's not his body. In fact, if you read before that, his body is buried. So this has got to be the man's soul. But you know what this man's soul has? Eyes. You go on here. Look what it says. He lift up his eyes being in what? Hold on a second. To be in torment means you've got some sort of nervous system to feel things. You go on there and he talks about a finger and a tongue, and it sounds like a soul is a whole lot like a body. It's just not a physical body. It's a spiritual body. But it still can feel and hear and see and talk. You go on here, if you look at verse 24, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. There it is again. Mercy. Well, you need that. I need it. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Hey, I'm telling you about hell this morning because it's real. I don't enjoy talking about it, but I need to tell you about it because it's real. And hell is a place where people go who have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ and his payment for their sins on the cross, his burial, his resurrection. They've rejected that that was done on their behalf, and they've never called on him to save them. And they end up in this very same place where this rich man is. Folks, this may sound derogatory, but understand what I'm saying. Folks, don't go to hell. Don't end up in hell. It's a real place. And the Lord Jesus Christ paid for your sins, so you don't have to go there. Don't go to hell. There's a way out. You say, I don't want to go there. Hey, Christ died for your sins. Your sins will take you there. He was buried. He rose again so that you would not have to go there if you'd call on him to be your Savior. You deserve hell, so do I. But Jesus Christ rescued me from hell, amen, as he rescued you. Come on. Again, the thing that is always avoided in churches oftentimes is the thing that we need to talk about the most. There's an eternal payment for sin. There's no getting out once you're there. You read the passage and the man wants out. He can't get out. You say, you're being mean. No, no, no. This is about as loving as I could ever be to tell you about this place because I don't want you to go there. Folks, the Lord Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way out of hell. He's the only way out of hell. Do you know him this morning? If you're not sure, we need to get this straight today. This morning. All right, let's go back to Luke here. Last point here on receiving. Last point here. Just a couple things here. If you notice there, he says in verse 42, the Lord says, thy faith has saved thee. And notice the humble request by that man. It's just so simple. Lord, that I may receive my sight. If you count the words there, it's seven words. That was a simple request, wasn't it? You know that the Lord would save you on a simple request like, Lord, I believe you paid for my sins on the cross. I need you. Will you save me? I mean, I made it even longer than, it doesn't have to be that long. Lord, would you save me from hell? Wouldn't that do it? Understanding what he did for you, that would do it. Notice what happens here. The transaction is immediate. Look at verse 43. And immediately he received his sight and followed him. Notice the next thing. Glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. I'll give you a verse here, John 1:12. But as many as received him, speaking of Jesus Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. It's so simple, folks. Don't complicate salvation. Christ made the payment that you and I deserve to pay. He'll save you from your sins and save you from hell if you'll trust him and call on him to save you. Isn't that simple? It is really that simple. It is really that simple. By the way, would you say that this whole thing that happened here in the verse we read, wouldn't that be impossible for any of us to do what just happened right there? Impossible. Back up. We didn't read the verse, but go back to verse 27. Same chapter, Luke 18. And he said, verse 27, the things which are impossible with who? With men are possible with God. You know what's impossible with men? Salvation. You know what's impossible for men? Deliverance from eternal torment in hell. You know what's possible with God? Salvation. Deliverance from eternal torment in hell. It's possible only through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know him today? Hey, real quick, if you know him, Little thing for you. I know I've been talking a lot about salvation here this morning, but take a look here. If you've been saved, doesn't matter how long, look at what happens in verse 43. Immediately he received his sight. What's the next step? Help me out, folks. Followed him. You know that if you'll call on Jesus Christ to be your Savior, he wants you immediately to start following behind him. Him leading the way. And I tell you, I hate to make the confession, but I've gotten off the path, and it is no fun. Following the Lord is the greatest adventure of your life. It is the most amazing thing. And he wants you, he wants you to follow right behind him. And then notice the next thing, following him, and then Phil mentioned it here, glorifying God. Isn't that the goal of the Christian life? Call on Jesus Christ to save you so you know the Lord, you're saved. Follow him and give him glory. There's the Christian life in a nutshell. We had the verses this month on discipleship. You know what discipleship is? It's just simply following the Lord. And it's not easy, by the way. Sometimes it gets hard along the way. Keep following the Lord and keep following the Lord and keep following the Lord. By the way, notice the end of 43. It says that all the people, I wonder if it might have been the same people who told that guy, hey, be quiet, be quiet. What are those people doing now if it was? What are they doing? They saw it and gave, it says they saw it, gave praise unto who? See, this blind man did not allow the people to stop him from getting to Jesus Christ. And when he got to Jesus Christ, number one, he got his sight back. Number two, God was glorified. And those people, had that man listened to them, those people would have missed out on a blessing, wouldn't they? Isn't that something? Folks, here a couple questions here in closing this morning. For those who are saved, are you living your life following Jesus Christ and for the glory of God? That's Christian life right there. And if you can't say yes to either one of those or maybe one of those, we need to get some things straight this morning. Live your life following Jesus Christ and giving him glory. That's what every day of your life ought to be the goal. Now, if you're here this morning and you never, there's a time I've asked that question earlier about calling on Jesus Christ. If there's never been a time where you called on Jesus Christ to be your Savior, make today the day. And we will spend any amount of time to go through the Scriptures and show you how simple it is to be saved today. It's so simple. We had this man, he heard. He called. And then what did he do? He received his sight. Yes, that's salvation. You hear what Jesus Christ did for you. You realize you need him. You call on him. And he simply saves you. You receive the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. It's that simple. If your spiritual eyes are open, you will clearly see God has a plan for your life, and your life will have meaning and purpose. If you have spiritual blindness, oh boy, the road just gets harder and harder. You don't have to walk down that road. Let's get our eyes open this morning, get our eyes on the Lord. So let's pray together. Lord, we just ask for you to do spiritual work among us here this morning as a result of your word going forth. I pray for all of us here this morning. There's folks among us that may not know the Lord Jesus Christ, and I pray that today would be the day of their salvation. Pray you really work on them, and there may be others among us who have known you for a long time that maybe need to just get some things right. And I just pray that this time of invitation would be a time that truly brings honor and glory to you above all. Not about any of us, but all about you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.